It's a pleasure to welcome you to St. Paul's this morning, our second Advent service this year in 2019. I have a couple of announcements for you. Next Sunday is one of the occasions which we call Next, where you can come and learn a little bit more about St. Paul's if you are interested in doing that, and gives us a chance to get to know you better as well. Also, next Sunday afternoon, you'll see in your bulletin an announcement about a carol sing. You can come and, under some very capable leadership, belt out your favorite Christmas carols. And if you are feeling a certain poverty of singing this season, come along for that. It'll be a great time. Also, the seniors' luncheon on Wednesday of this week. If you're going to sign up, please sign one name on each line so that the organizers don't think your name is Betty Jim, but it's Betty and it's Jim. And also, please pay. You can pay Wayne Pope at the event or in the lobby, but that's from the organizers. We're here to hear also from you, Tammy. Did you want to give your very upbeat and positive announcement, please?
Pastor Tammy. And as you know, we have been asking you to be a part of ministry here at St. Paul's by serving your community, by being a part of this home church, this part place where you come to be with other people who serve God. We have had over 20 responses. That's awesome. Thank you so much to all of you that have said, yes, I want to be a part of what's going on here at St. Paul's. There will still be the board in the hallway that says, say yes on it for 2 more weeks. Find a place to be a part of the community here at St. Paul's.
Thank you, Tammy. We're here, of course, for fellowship, for with each other, exchange news, and see how each other is getting along. But what really brings us, of course, is to be in the presence of our Lord, to worship God, which he deserves and is good for us. So as we prepare to do that, let's be quiet before him. Let's prepare for worship. Advent, of course, is all about waiting. And we think mostly of identifying with God's people of old as they waited, as they yearned for the Messiah that they had been promised. But from our vantage point in history, we know how that turned out. Messiah has come. And so we reenact their yearning as we try and put ourselves in their position, yearning for the coming of the Savior. But there is, of course, a contemporary waiting as we wait for our Savior to come again. The words of Scripture end, conclude with a call to our Lord to come back soon. And that also is Advent. Let's enter into that spirit of worship and that reenactment of waiting. Let's join together in singing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels.
you. You may be seated. Please join with me as we come to God in prayer. Shall we pray? We have come to worship, O God, and we thank you for making that possible through Christ. In ancient times, your people worshipped, but we thank you that in these days, we have one who has been with us, lived our life, given us a living picture of the living God, your grace, your truth, your love. And we thank you that through him, through trusting in him as the way to the Father, we can approach you and we can worship you with gladness and with everything that we are and everything that we have. We confess that it is not because of any good in us that we can come to you. It's not because of anything we've done or where or to whom we were born or how many assets we have of whatever kind. We share with all humanity the same status. We are loved by you and we are welcomed by you. And so we come, and we pray that in this time of worship, you will open the eyes of our inner being, the inside eyes, to see more of you, to see you in your greatness, to see you in your love, in your kindness, in your mercy, in your willingness to forgive, in your willingness to take our failings as far away from us as east is from west. This is a God of love. This is a great God worthy of our worship. Make us clean inside simply because we confess that we need your cleansing. Renew us in this time. Build us up in our love for you and for each other, we pray. And accept also the words of this prayer that we now make, which Jesus himself taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And Wally Troop will come with our responsive reading.
The reading this morning is Psalm number 62. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him.
Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence?
Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse.
Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him.
Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge.
Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath.
Do not trust in extortion, or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God.
And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done.
This is the word of God.
That there were a couple children here this morning. Please come up. Good morning, girls. How are you today? Good. So we are looking at Advent. Advent is a special way that we look forward to Christmas. We look forward to a little baby's birth by remembering the story that led to his birth, his life, his death, and also that someday again he's coming for us. But today we're going to light the peace candle. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the morning, our family's really rushed. And it doesn't always feel very peaceful getting ready for school or getting ready for church. And we get really busy. Sometimes you guys too? Yeah. Yeah, me too. But do you know what? God offers us peace. Sometimes in our hearts, sometimes there's things, especially around this time of year, we feel anticipation, we feel excitement. Sometimes we feel sadness around Christmas. And all of those emotions are okay because Jesus takes care of our emotions. And we can come to him to feel peace. The other thing with peace that I've learned is sometimes we don't get along with other people, do we? Sometimes we argue with our sisters or our brothers. Sometimes we don't want to listen to mom or dad or grandma. And other times, our hearts just feel that we don't want to get along with anyone. God also brings peace in our relationships with each other. Because Jesus is peace. And that's the reason that he came here as a baby, one of them, was to show us how to live a peaceful life. Would you help me light the peace candle today?
Today we light the peace candle in remembrance that Jesus is our peace.
Lord, we're thankful that you speak to us in so many different ways. And as we approach this time now of hearing music and reading your word and hearing it proclaimed, we ask that you would deepen our understanding, open our eyes, and help us to walk in your light through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much to the choir, and may we say to Patricia and Clive, we wish you a happy voyage. They're going away for a very, very long time to South Africa. They're flying, not going by voyage. We're reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 9, the first 7 verses. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I want to confess that I have a little obsession. Every day of the year, almost, I monitor the sunrise and sunset times. Today, the sun sets at 4:20. And it's going to go as far as 419, and then it's going to stop. And it'll stay there for a while, and the sunrise will continue to get a little later until it stops, and then it'll stay there for a while, and then the days will begin to get a little longer. We are now in the darkest time of the year. This week and next week, right up until about the 21st of December, and then for a little while after, are the darkest days of the year. That's a darkness that a lot of people experience at Christmas, and that's why we have Christmas lights, to break the monotony of the dark winter, those darkest days. The ancient people must have found it very, very spooky indeed to know if it was just going to continue to get darker and darker and darker. Jesus talked about a different kind of darkness. One late night on the rooftop of a Jerusalem house, one of the religious leaders of his time, Nicodemus, came and they were talking, and Jesus talked about a different kind of darkness, the darkness that is inside people. The motivations, the responses to situations and to other people, the irritability, the desire for control, and the anger and sometimes despair when we're not in control, and the things that we want that we can't have, and the reactions that that creates, and sometimes darkness of far worse kind. And he's talked about the light confronting that darkness and people choosing between accepting that light or continuing in the darkness. And Isaiah was talking about yet another kind of darkness, the darkness that was going to fall on his people as they endured the judgment of God for their sin. There were two things that God was judging the people of Israel and Judah for. One was idolatry. They had long since forgotten God who loved them and who had redeemed them and made them a people. And they had combined worship of other gods from the countries around about them with this worship of the one true God. And they still went through the motions, but they had long since lost their love, their admiration for God, and he knew it. But it wasn't just their idolatry, it was their injustice, their treachery, their blindness to the needs of their fellow men and women, the way they treated sometimes the neighboring countries, the way they treated the poor and the newcomer. And God took them into this period of judgment, and their country fell. The capital city, Jerusalem, was besieged, and the walls fell, and many of the best and brightest of the land were carted off into exile. And there was famine, and there was shortage of water, and there was the brutality of an invading force. And Isaiah writes this chapter that we read to speak of that kind of darkness. But as the prophets were inclined to do, they spoke about the near term and often into the distant horizon of what God would bring about. And he speaks in this particular prophecy about the fact that their judgment would come to an end. Their darkness in these navigating these geopolitical tides would come to an end and they would be restored. But even more importantly, there would be a Messiah come. There would be a Savior, not just for their condition, but for the human condition. And he would establish a kingdom, and it would be marked by justice and equity and righteousness. And that, of course, is what we acknowledge and celebrate at Christmas, the arrival of Jesus of Nazareth as God himself, the Son, the being of God, stepping into human history, becoming human, fully human, to live with us and walk in our darkness and bring light. In Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, there is a very dark chapter. Ironically, that passage of darkness that he includes in his account of Jesus' birth is triggered by light, by a star or an alignment of heavenly bodies reflecting the light of the sun. Whatever was going on in the cosmos, there was at that time this brilliant star shining, this brilliant light in the night sky. And off to one of the countries of the East, where affairs and the understanding of life was governed by astrology, the movement of the heavens. Three men of the nobility, who themselves were educated astrologers, thought that this light was very significant. They knew the culture and the teachings of the countries around, and they knew that the people of the Hebrews were waiting for a Messiah, a king. And they thought that this light indicated that maybe that king had been born. And so they went to their storehouse, pulled together some treasures, set out on a journey to find and worship this king. The real king, Herod, heard about this. Herod was quite a case. He was paranoid, and he was unspeakably cruel. He had a track record of brutality. He represented Rome. He was not Jewish. He was put there to keep this colony of Rome in its place, and did he ever. He was well established. He was old by now. He had had his wife murdered because he didn't trust her. Two of his sons, he was suspicious of them. He had them wiped out. His brother, don't know if he didn't like him or if he found him a threat as well, but he had him disappeared. And now he hears about this king, this baby that's been born. And he makes a deal with these visitors, these princes from the East. You find him and you come back and tell me where he is, because if he's a new king, I want to go and do him honor as well. Well, they go and find him, but they don't report his whereabouts to Herod. And Herod is both furious and presumably afraid, because here's a threat to his throne. And in a horrible, horrible event, which Matthew records very simply, very plainly, but very bluntly, he has all of the baby boys in Jerusalem, all who might correspond to the age of this new found king, he has them slaughtered. And there is unspeakable grief in that community. The darkness that Matthew is describing is the ageless, the timeless darkness of the autocrat who rules in blood, who has no sense of justice, who answers to no one and responds to events with violence. Why does Matthew include such a story in his account of Christmas? We, by our own nature, would do our very best to avoid it. Have you ever seen the slaughter of the innocents depicted on a Christmas card? There are one or two carols, Christmas songs, that make reference to this horrible event. But we would much prefer to avoid it. Why does Matthew put this dark chapter in his account of the birth of Jesus? Well, if there were going on in the affairs of humanity a God who wanted to intervene in human affairs by joining humans, who was going to step onto the stage of history, who was the king, the living God, but decided to become one of us and walk around with us and live like us, that is going to awaken certain forces. That is going to be profoundly disturbing to the established order of our world. And so it was as this king is proclaimed. The heavens couldn't help but declare this event. This was unheard of, that God would enter human history himself. And the heavens had to tell that story. The secret had to come out, and Herod and all earthly beings are going to be disturbed by this disruption in the flow of human history. And of course, he's going to react. What would we expect? Light into darkness. The darkness tries to put it out. Matthew is making a point. This isn't just the circumstance into which Jesus came. He's not just being realistic. He's not just looking ahead to Hollywood and making a good story out of this. The flight into Egypt, the take the mother and the boy and get out of town. He's making a point that this is what Jesus came into. And this is why he came, because of darkness. It is a dangerous story, not just at the time, but it remains dangerous in our world. How many places are there where the autocrat is reigning? How many places where people are treated brutally, where they have no value? How many places are people hopeless because of famine or their circumstances? How much intrinsic systemic evil is in our world today, even in dark corners of a city as blessed as Ottawa, where people are commodified and traded and fed all sorts of things to make them dependent? And how many folks carry with them throughout the year the burden of memories that haunt them? They have no peace. They can't escape from those memories, or the darkness of their mind just crowds in, and they're hopeless that day after day. I don't say this to be a downer, but it's the truth. It's the way of the world. It's the way of our lives, to whatever degree we know there is darkness around. And Matthew tells about one episode of unspeakable darkness to make the point that that was the dangerous journey that Jesus undertook. And he did it deliberately, and he did it because of the darkness. That is not just what Jesus came into, but why he came. We need to know that. We need to remember that. He has one other point, Matthew. He concludes that part of the story with pulling out of the ancient scriptures a verse that will capture the grief that engulfed that community. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. It was Jeremiah's prophecy that he is quoting. And Matthew's readers, who were mostly, or his audience, who were mostly Jewish, not entirely, but mostly Jewish, would have been familiar with that ancient word, and they would have known the context. Because Jeremiah, another prophet, roughly at the time of Isaiah, also talks about the judgment of the people, and he pictures Rachel, who is the kind of archetype of the motherhood of Israel. She's the representative of the mothers of Israel, and she happened to be the one of the two wives of Jacob, the father of Israel. She was his favored wife and the mother of Joseph and also of Benjamin, the youngest of the clan. And she is on a journey to, of all places, the town of Bethlehem, when she dies in childbirth, bearing Benjamin. And she dies in the agony of childbirth that kills her by the roadside. And Jeremiah picks up that story of Rachel crying out in childbirth. And as he imagines the judgment that will come, the exile, these best and brightest of the people of Jerusalem being carted off, shuffling through the dust, being pushed and yelled at and abused by the soldiers. He has Rachel crying, lamenting for her children, the children of all of Israel. And it's that picture of a mother's grief for lost children that Matthew picks up. Because he knows the story doesn't stop there. Jeremiah, in his prophecy, paints that picture of Rachel and goes on to say this: keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I have heard Ephraim, that's one of the names for the children of Israel. I've heard Ephraim grieving. You have disciplined me, and I was disciplined like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. Return, O Virgin Israel. Return to these your cities. The darkness comes to an end. And we wait for the fulfillment of that second meaning of Isaiah's prophecy about the kingdom of our Lord, that the time will come when he establishes that kingdom without any dispute, with no argument, It is being built now. It is growing now, notwithstanding the dangers. And he will be back, and he will establish his kingdom, and it will be marked by justice and righteousness and peace. And even in our present darkness, he shines the light of grace and truth, the light of God himself. And whatever your darkness, grieving and praying for the darkness that you're aware of in the world around, or darkness that you carry, that you yourself are living through, the light has come. It is because of your darkness, because of our darkness, that he came. And the darkness cannot put out light. Not this light. Let's pray. We confess, our God, that too often we do not think of those in the world who are oppressed and mistreated or suffer because of violence and because of evil. We do not think of those who are at risk because they are minorities, not least our own brothers and sisters in the faith. We turn away from some of the darkness that is around us. Forgive us. And help us to pray against evil. We do that now. We pray that you would stretch out your mighty arm and hold back in this place or that place this very day evil done to others. And while we wait, while we yearn for you to come back, Lord Jesus, and establish without argument, without dispute, for all to see your kingdom of peace and justice and love fully, finally, forever, help us to be instruments of peace. You have shown us, to whatever degree in our journey through life, your light. Help us to draw closer and closer to you, to open up the door into our inner life more and more to you, to invite you in, to sit down at the table with us and have a meal and talk to us, so that at the end of that visit we will know, has there ever been love like this? Love for me, love for people. And may those times of fellowship with you change us and shape us so that we will be light in the darkness around us. And where we ourselves are in darkness, Lord, will you by your Spirit shine your light in us again, that we will know that whatever we are going through, all is well because you have come and you're coming back. We pray for the ministry of this place, for the staff here, the elders, those who serve and give leadership, for every family represented here, for every person living on his or her own, for those facing the end of life, for those just starting out life and their parents. Lord, will you have mercy on us, and will you use us, and will you send to this place everyone that you mean to be part of our community, part of the body of Christ in this place? And will you equip them to serve with us? And will you equip us to receive them and serve them? We pray for our country. We pray for our province, for our city. We pray that in these days of Advent and this slow march to Christmas, you will help us to think about the right things and to become more and more in love with you and never leave you. Just in response to your promise never to leave us or forsake us. We love you, Lord. Deepen our love, we pray. Through Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we will now receive our morning offering. Worthy of our love, worthy of our praise, worthy of these gifts that we now bring. Accept them, Lord, and use them for your purposes, we pray. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord at all, you have his light in you. And I encourage you to go from here, go throughout this week, go throughout this Advent season, knowing that Jesus came into darkness to bring light. And he uses us to spread that light around. Now receive this blessing from God. Now may the peace of God himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Amen.